to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're going inside the ring. Our guide is Bill Gertz, the storied and prize-winning columnist at the Washington Times. The column is, of course, Inside the Ring. Also, senior editor with the Washington Free Beacon, where he does extraordinarily important work. Bill, your ears might have been ringing. We were talking in the previous segment with Catherine Gorka about your scoop, an interview with Quentin Wiktorowicz, a man who has had a hand in shaping the Obama administration's, well, I don't know, unilateral disarmament, shall we say, in the war of ideas. What was your impression of his comments to you and the takeaway from them?
Well, Wiktorowicz is considered the guru of the Obama administration's misguided counter-ideological approach to terrorism. Basically, he worked at the NSC staff and was very influential in promoting this notion of grievance-based motivations, when really this is an excuse or an apology to try and distract attention from the true nature of the terrorist threat, which is the Islamist commitment to jihad.
By grievance-based, you mean that the folks are simply acting out because of economic privation or past crimes of the West against their countries, that sort of thing?
Right. It's a false notion that social grievances are behind terrorism, when in fact it's religiously motivated. But he revealed that the government doesn't want to touch religion, can't touch it, according to him, because of this the constitutional separation of church and state, which says nothing about fighting terrorism. That's really designed to prevent the establishment of a state religion. But the Obama administration has applied that to the battle against terrorism, and thus we are not waging ideological war. It's a major, major shortcoming of the Obama administration's counterterrorism policy.
I know Catherine Gorka made that case powerfully as well, and hearing it from you, Bill, only reinforces the degree to which this is really putting us at grave risk and needs to be remedied. Speaking of grave risk, you have a piece in the Washington Free Beacon today about further evidence of something we talked about earlier in the program with Stuart Baker, Chinese government involvement in cyber attacks against both our government agencies and private sector. Bill, of course, you heard earlier in the week that the White House, an unclassified system, but nonetheless a White House computer system, apparently has been subjected to attacks. I'm not sure whether they're from the Chinese or the Russians or somebody else, but give us a sense of what the Chinese seem to be up to, and more broadly, your take on the cyber threat.
Yeah, this is a major story. I took part in an online briefing by security experts outside the government, who are really leading the way as the government is too weak and appeasement-oriented to really name and identify the Chinese cyber threat. So this was a coalition of cyber groups headed by one firm called Novetta, which uncovered what has really emerged as the first civilian-based Chinese cyber intelligence gathering operation. It was a massive operation. It goes back to the Operation Aurora against Google and other U.S. companies in 2009, and has continued for the past 6 years. They've dubbed this Chinese cyber group Axiom. That's probably based on some of the digital signatures that they found. But this is an extremely sophisticated, even more sophisticated than the PLA hacking groups, which to me signals that this is part of the Ministry of State Security. That is China's KGB-like political police and intelligence service.
Again, the degree to which these entities are actually working as arms of the government of China, Bill, or the government of Russia, for that matter, really ramps up dramatically the kind of resources they have access to, of course, but also presumably the kind of direction that they're getting from their governments to wage war, really.
In the past 2 weeks, security analysts have uncovered 43,000 pieces of Chinese intelligence gathering malware in nearly nearly 1,000 organizations. So that just gives you an idea of the scope of this massive cyber espionage campaign by the Chinese. And that's just the civilian side. The military side is probably equally as large.
Bill, let me turn to something else the Chinese are up to, and that is intensively pressuring the Pentagon not to provide support or allow others to provide specifically submarines to the Republic of China on Taiwan. What's up with that, Bill, and is it advisable for us to prevent the Taiwanese from having these critically important means of self-defense?
Yeah, this is a really important story. Back in 2001, the George W. Bush administration said that it was going to help Taiwan develop and build or acquire 8 diesel-electric submarines. The Obama administration has basically backed away from that pledge, and the reason is that they have placed a high priority on developing military-to-military relations with the Chinese military. Now, the problem there is that the Chinese have agreed to resume military relations with the Pentagon only on one condition, that the U.S. Gradually end arms sales to Taiwan, which the U.S. is bound to do under the 1979 Taiwan Relations Act. So basically, there's been a big fight ongoing inside both the State Department and Pentagon over whether to help Taiwan provide these urgently needed strategic deterrent submarines. And the Taiwanese government got tired of waiting. They said, we're going to build our own, even though they don't have the needed technology. The administration, again, under pressure from China, is going to offer instead smaller submarines, littoral submarines, coastal submarines, which aren't enough. All the experts I talked to said that they need submarines for surveillance in waters much deeper away from Taiwan's coast. So that's really the problem.
Bill, let me turn to another topic that you've broken a very important story about, namely the threats now emanating from al-Qaeda to attack U.S. naval assets and other maritime choke points critical to international trade and specifically energy flows. How dangerous a development do you think this is?
Yes. On top of the threat from ISIL that we see in Syria and Iraq, al-Qaeda is definitely on the rise again. And in their latest English language magazine called Resurgence, they outlined an entire plan for conducting economic warfare against the West and specifically the United States, calling for the sinking of supertankers in strategic waterways, cutting off access to choke points, and generally, really what they described in this magazine as the Achilles heel of the Western economy as really the economic means against us. And it's really quite alarming. The U.S. government is aware of it. I was unable to get any comment from any of the officials. The CIA declined to comment. Again, they have their reasons for not commenting, but clearly there are a lot of people very concerned about a new al-Qaeda threat to conduct economic warfare against the West.
We all better be concerned about it, Bill. At the moment when gas prices are declining, I think there's a tendency to believe that it will ever be thus, or perhaps even further declines are in prospect. I'm afraid that that is a very much a delusion. And if this kind of threats do in fact emerge, or other Islamic State, global jihadists, or for that matter, internal dynamics cause serious disruption to these oil-supplying nations, I think we'll find very much the pressure on economically as well as strategically to in ways that we are not contemplating at the moment. Bill, we have to leave it at that. I'm afraid there's so much more to talk to you about. I look forward to doing our tour of the inside of the ring with you again next week. Thanks for joining us this time around. I hope the rest of you will join us next Monday as well for more of Secure Freedom Radio. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.